This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. And over the past few weeks, you would have heard me speaking about MDEX VIP platform, the rise of co-working spaces to boost the digital entrepreneurship here in Malaysia, and also how large corporate firms are going through their digital adoption journey. And today we'll be finding out just how an engineering and a construction company is doing in their digital transformation journey. And on the show today is...
Hi, I'm Wong Sen Lung, Chief Information Officer from Gemuda Berhad.
Hi, I'm Muhunden Kamarapule, Deputy Director of Digital Adoption Ecosystem, MDEC.
And gentlemen, welcome to the show. Also, previously we discussed on the importance of the traditional businesses to seize the opportunity now and embrace the digital adoption. In your opinion, Muhu, what are some of the barriers for businesses to kickstart their digital adoption journey?
Yeah, you know, for businesses, I think you can sort of broadly categorize them into three areas. First will be awareness, right? I think, you know, there's still very low awareness when it comes to digital adoption benefits, right? And, you know, there's some studies done locally by some of the research houses, just to throw some of the points here. You know, for example, only 3% of businesses use big data analytics to derive business insights, yeah?
3% of the entire Malaysia?
Businesses, yeah. This is cutting across, yeah? And of course, you have to take into account of the importance of big data analytics, but, you know, but broadly speaking, it's only about 3%. And around 15% of businesses are actually on cloud. Mm. And, you know, when it comes to automation, I think perhaps for manufacturing, maybe they're slightly higher. But for the rest of the sectors, it's only around 3%, right, who have actually really looked into automation to improve productivity. Mm. The other part on awareness is actually in terms of the low integration of technology in businesses' core strategy, right? So, you know, majority of businesses, around 50%, have processes that moderately integrated. They have processes that are moderately integrated with technology. It means it's not fully integrated, and therefore you don't really see the full benefit that comes out of digital. The other part is capabilities, right? Aside from awareness, two points on capabilities. One is management drive when it comes to digital strategy and capabilities. The other part is lack of digital talent. Right, especially in certain core areas like big data analytics, agile development, IoT. So when it comes to management strategies, some study shows that only 40% of businesses in Malaysia do have an IT department. That's interesting. And most of the IT departments...
It's all been shrunk before when, you know, the economy was bad. The IT was the first to go.
Yeah, outsourced everything.
Absolutely, right. And the outsource model also made sense. Mm. But the point is that the remaining team, the IT team in the company, were playing more of the operational role rather than the strategic role, right? And therefore... basically alienating themselves from the strategy of the company. And that's a big issue, I would say. Right. The other part is, of course, the, as I mentioned, the digital talent. And I think it's crucial. Digital talent here is not just the technology guys. Right. They're also the business guys, which you would see today, where I think when Gamuda, Singlo, when you're going to share with us, it would be interesting to see how that the non-tech skills in the organization could actually be turned into becoming the champion of the digital adoption for an organization.
Yeah. Right. And Sian Long, let's give a bit of a background about Gemuda itself. We're obviously on enterprise, on Tech Talk. We've talked a lot about, you know, technology companies, and Gemuda is very interesting because you're obviously more of an engineering company, and in this part of the engineering field, we see a lot of technology players and technology playing a part as well. Not so much of a disruption. Tell me a bit about Gemuda and, you know, how much of understanding you have at the moment in terms of a digital, you know, transformation ahead.
Well, Jeff, Gemuda, as you know, is a construction company and a property development company, very much brick and mortar. But as an engineering company, we have been using IT for quite a long time. I joined 25 years ago as an engineer, and we were already using CAD and spreadsheets and imaging, and well, these are the things that are normal these days. But at that time, it was a little bit, if I may, cutting edge. Obviously, these days we use a lot more than those tools. Today, I think change is still constant. And my view is that the pace of change has increased tremendously. We also have the convergence of cloud, social, mobile, and big data, coupled with the ease of use and intuitiveness of consumer IT. That brings a lot of possibilities and opportunities that I see. Expectations have risen. We have a lot of young people in the workforce these days, and they are very familiar with technology. The older folks are also users of smartphones and consumer services, things like Google, Uber, Airbnb, and a lot of applications. And it's so intuitive and easy to use. Yet, when you come to the workplace, the experience is slightly different. So, when you talk about digital vision, to me, it's not about shiny bits of new technology and bringing it into the company. It is about enhancing experiences and creating value. And there are lots of opportunities there. When I say enhancing experiences, what I mean is how we as a business, as a corporate body, interact, communicate, collaborate, and engage with our customers, the public, our partners, and our employees. And at the same time, we need to be able to create value. You know about B2B, business to business. E-banking is one thing that we use very often. We interact with the likes of IBM, Oracle. There is marketplaces where we buy stuff. We have B2C, payment gateways that we enable our customers to easily make payments online. You're familiar with Amazon. But we also have B2E, business to employee, and employee to employee. And one example of that that we have used in Gamuda is Facebook at Work, or what is known as Workplace these days. We started that journey about a year ago, and I think it has sort of transformed how we communicate with one another and how we interact with one another. Mm-hmm. Jeff, you know, in Gamuda, we build things, right? We recently completed the MRT. We built infrastructure. We built tunnels. We built bridges. These take maybe 5 to 6 years for us to complete. And we use a lot of IT technology to help us deliver our projects. And yet, we looked at what we're doing. At the end of the day, what do? We deliver a project. And that's about it. Somebody else has to operate, maintain it. And infrastructure assets have got a lifespan of 100, 120 years. When I was designing bridges, we were designing for 120 years lifespan.
Wow.
So from a sustainability point of view, we in Gamuda feel that we can't just deliver an asset like that. There is another 100, 120 years of life in that asset. And if we just deliver that as it is, then I think we are not playing our part well. We need to also help whoever's taking over the asset or whoever's owning the asset in terms of maintenance, operations, repair, refurbishment, and ultimately replacement. That's why we look at what other people are doing, and the industry seems to be moving towards this thing called digital twin, and a digital twin is basically a digital representation of the asset, of the physical asset, and with that you can do simulation, you can optimize the operations, do predictive maintenance, incorporate the internet of things, sensorizing it and do predictive maintenance and extend the life of the asset, optimize the cost of ownership, and hopefully the total cost of ownership will be a bit more optimized than what we have now.
And this is interesting because, you know, I've got another point that I wanted to share as well in terms of cost being the top barrier of digital adoption, right? Especially for the mid-tier organization. So I think it's quite important to see that. How do you, de-risk some of these opportunities that you see in the digital? How can you take that approach of trying to figure out step by step, taking in certain approach, and then getting into that big investment that you want to put in?
I'm speaking to Wong Sien Lung. He's the Chief Information Officer for Gamuda Berhad, together with Muhundan Karamapulai. He's the Deputy Director, Digital Adoption Ecosystem for MDEC. And we'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Tech Talk, and with me in the studio is Wong Sien Lung. He's the Chief Information Officer for Gamuda, together with Muhundan Karamapulai. He's the Deputy Director for Digital Adoption Ecosystem for MDEC. Sien Lung, tell me about Gamuda's journey so far. Where are you currently in your digital journey, your digital transformation journey? And what is the setup like within Gamuda Berhad?
My view is that we are still very much at the infant stage. We just started. We have pockets of people doing stuff. And we have innovation in pockets, not really throughout the organization at the moment.
This was a test to just see how, receptive your talent would be, or?
No, I think it's almost impossible to move a large organization in this manner, because of the sheer complexity of it. But having just pockets would be, I think, sufficient to drive things through. You can't constantly innovate, because when you do that, you are constantly pushing boundaries. You are experimenting. You are also failing in certain cases. And we still need to have our business as usual. We still need to deliver on our projects and the work that we do. So I would advocate that, that we shouldn't have an innovation department doing it, but there will be areas where we feel we need to push innovation and we need to innovate. And it brings me back to creating value and enhancing experiences. Those are the two areas I think that we will focus on.
It's a shared responsibility in that sense.
Definitely. It's not an IT project or an IT-driven project. It has to be business-driven. At the end of it, you have to benefit business.
Yeah. And I like the point that you talked about being able to accept failure. I think that's a crucial DNA as well. As they say, that you fail fast to succeed faster. The iterative model that you take, would be something interesting that organizations should start looking at when you're starting the journey of digital adoption.
But the beauty of, we talk so much about failure, whether it's, starting up a company and taking that entrepreneurship journey, or, the digital adoption as well, that transformation into the digital world. We talk so much about, taking that risk for failure, but we've seen so many programs. We know about MDEC's VIP platform program as well. And, we've seen companies, around the region who have taken the digital journey and have already set a way of how things are going and all. What's MDEC's role here in terms of, having programs like, the Value Innovation Platform? And also, is this like a really just future-proofing your business to this digital journey? Because the risk of failure when you're in these programs and stuff, it just feels like, it's so hard to fail when there's so many companies who've already done this, and we've now got platforms and programs, whereas 10 years ago, this was a big worry of failing because you're starting up way too soon. Now, some are talking like you might be too late in your digital journey as well.
I think the time is right. The time is right now. As you can see that the emergence of new technologies, how dynamic they are, the changes of market forces today, as well as the kind of talent that's coming out, right? I think so the time is right. And at MDEC, we want to focus on creating that right ecosystem for companies to thrive, right? We find that the biggest barrier of entry, it's that without the right ecosystem. For example, if I'm a business and I want to look at digital adoption, where do I go to, right? Who can support me? What are the kind of support structure or incentives from the government? And what kind of institutions that can help me when it comes to digital talent and whatever not. So this is the focus we have. And end of last year, in 2006, we launched the Value Innovation Platform. And the idea of having this platform is basically to help organizations to identify pain points, right, that they can look at, as well as opportunities within the digital space, right? And how we have done this is by looking at that first, figuring out what are the pain points, right, that you can look at, what are the opportunities you can exploit, even before looking at the kind of work that you want to do. And that's crucial, because once you figure out what you want, it's easier for you to get into the adoption journey, because you sort of have a direction.
Yeah.
And in VIP, what we do is that we help organizations, working with our partner, Rainmaking Innovation, RMI, to help organizations to build MVPs, minimal viable products, we call them, right? It's like a pilot. It's a product, but the thing is that it's ready to be launched, right? So, and that's important, because that will give the businesses a sort of an hypothesis. When they start off, they say, okay, I can do this within this many time. For example, if time is crucial, or maybe better engagement with the customer. And then you prove that hypothesis, right? And then you move up to the next stage, where then you can look at mass scaling, or beyond that.
There is a business value to it at the end of the day, because that would normally be the boardroom discussion when you have, you know, when you talk about, you know, doing a digital adoption, it would be like, you know, what's the value for the business if you're just going to do R&D and keep failing all the time? There needs to be a value into it, yeah, right?
Absolutely. And those are the parameters you look at. You may or may not achieve it, because that's why you have that capabilities built in, right? Part of the VIP program is just to help the organizations to have their talent, their people, to understand how these things are done, so that you can build it again, right? So you can continuously build that MVP, and then figure out some of the things that make sense to you.
All right. Xianlong, I understand that Gamura is among the first few to join the VIP program. What was the critical push that triggered this, and that, you know, that inspired you to, like, let's join the VIP?
Well, I'm not sure whether we are one of the first, but...
Yes, you are.
There we go. We just have the confirmation now. You are one of the first few.
Well, we have been working with vendors all this while, big companies, big IT companies, and they're established, they're big, they've got their solutions in place. But we find that working with big companies, sometimes they are less agile, less accommodating. And we roll out big systems, it takes months and years. And when Muhu and MDAC approached us and said that, you know, why don't you participate in this VIP program with us? We looked at it and we felt that this is something that we should start, maybe dip our toes into this. We have never worked with startups before or digital companies before. And I think it was a wonderful opportunity for us to look at how we can also use this as a platform to spur innovation within our company, inspire creativity, and perhaps do a bit of experimentation with our employees as well as with the digital companies.
And how has the program been for you so far? Like, what was the, you know, key learnings that or challenges that, you know, were previously you thought was, you know, really a burden on your shoulder, but now that you've, you know, when you came on the VIP program, you realized with the input from MDAC and also, you know, partners like, you know, Rainmaking Innovation and others, and you've realized, hang on a minute, it's actually, you know, just going back to asking the basic questions and then moving forward. Like, what were some of the areas that, you know, you find it that, you know, wow, that actually helped us a lot?
I see Rainmaking Innovation, RMI, as an innovation catalyst. Moo said that, you know, we look at pain points. So we went out to our business units. What are your pain points? What ideas do we have that we want to solve? What business problems do we have that we want to solve? And there were so many of them. We had tons of ideas, some pretty wild, and you know, we had to literally sift through them, and that's what I think both MDAC and RMI helped us do as well. We can't solve everything, and through the process of whittling down the ideas that we had, we looked at how our employees behaved as well, and it sort of in a way displayed our core corporate values, taking personal ownership. You know, coming up with ideas is pretty easy, but taking ownership to drive it through and executing the idea, that takes a lot more. And we see that with some of our people, and that is, I think, something that is quite inspiring to see people that you've not thought going down that route, taking up the challenge and moving into digital adoption, sticking their neck out and driving things through. I think if you ask me about what we learned from this this program, I can boil it down to the three C's. Firstly, corporate. Looking at all the ideas that we have to ask ourselves, is it beneficial to Team Gamuda? Will it enhance experiences with our employees or with our customers or with the public? Will it create value? Then, do we have the conviction that we have half a chance to work? Muhu mentioned minimum viable product. That is something I think, in a way, that's new to some of us, experimenting and coming up with something that has a half a chance to work and proving that, yes, through this proof of concept, it seems that it's going to work. Then we have to ask ourselves, is that can't be the end of it, right? Is it something that is scalable? Can we add more things to it? And if yes, then finally what you need is courage. Mm-hmm. Courage to try. And if you fail, you learn from your failings. And I think we also have to ask ourselves, what's the cost of not doing anything? And if we do take that step to say, yes, we will do it, then we also have to be prepared to unsettle people and to create a bit of disruption.
Because standing still in today's day and age is actually just falling behind. You can't stand still. You are going to fall really far behind no matter what industry you come from. Talking about the talent, because it seems like, Gamuda especially, I'm sure there are, a lot of people who are non-IT, non-tech savvy, who've now, have to champion this, digital transformation. How has that journey been in terms of trying to, upskill or reskill some of your employees to understand that they shouldn't fear the digital transformation? They should instead embrace and champion it as well.
That's a good point about reskilling and upskilling. I think that's something that we have to do. And we have constantly tried to promote the new way of doing things. For instance, when we introduced Facebook at work or workplace about a year ago, when we first started, it was totally foreign to a lot of people. Sure, they use Facebook, personal Facebook, and they will do updates constantly throughout the whole day, but not at the workplace. Then we asked ourselves, what is stopping them? And I think it's a matter of getting them used to the new platform and also changing the culture. It has to be a bit more open. We have a lot of Gen Ys in our organization. About half of our workforce are actually Gen Ys. And we felt that, hey, those are the people who should be using Workplace, but they're not. So what we did was we came up with campaigns together with our HR department and our communications department. Jointly, we felt that what we need to do are putting in processes and change the way that we communicate. We used to send mass email. We used our portal to communicate. Slowly, we reduced that and put all the communication on Workplace. And that now becomes our main channel of communication. And that's how we actually change behavior.
Mm. Mohu, what would you define as a success from this platform now that you have, you know, so many different types of industries coming in the VIP program, and you know, if you've spoken about, you know, large corporate companies, telco companies, even the startups as well looking into this, from MDEC's point of view, where would you draw the line and say, like, yes, this is a success, this is something that you measure on your own?
You know, I would go back to the ecosystem part again, right? Do we have the right elements, for example, in the ecosystem? So, you know, in the space of talent, right, we've recently partnered with HRDF, the Human Resource Development Fund, and we've got a partnership on a specific, very specific program on digital adoption. So organizations going through VIP, for example, because there's 30% of the component is actually about people, reskilling people. And then that this component's, you know, if you're HRDF, subscribing to HRDF, then you'll be able to get a reimbursement from it, for example.
Right.
And there are many different levels. To date, we've got about, you know, three organizations who are already ongoing into the program. We have DG, Gamoda, and Malaysia Airline. And we've got a few who are actually getting ready to come on board. And we see the traction is now really picking up. To us, it means that it sort of validates our thesis that, you know, organizations are ready to pick this up. What we are trying to provide is basically a structured approach. So, you know, you've got thousands of ways of doing this. Why don't you try a structured approach and then build that? So getting more organizations to adopt digital, if MDEC can reduce the barrier of entry, and also enriching the ecosystem, ensuring that we have all the different elements, will be the kind of success metrics that we're looking at.
Making it easier for, you know, anyone to understand, you know, how the journey should, you know, how you could actually kickstart your journey in the digital adoption. And it's as easy as just going onto a website to, you know, register your interest, which is...
That's right. I think the first thing you can do is do go to www.mdec.my/VIP. For you to get some information there, and I'll be more than happy to assist you.
And also, Xianlong, last question. What are you expecting in terms of, you know, what are you deeming as a success in your digital journey? Because, you know, you mentioned for you, your point of view, you feel like you've only just about to begin this journey, and it's not going to end anytime soon as well. This is a, like you mentioned, it's a continuous change that happens. What are you personally excited about, or, you know, going to the office and seeing the staff as well? What are they excited about that, you know, this opportunity brings to them?
I think one measure of success is to see how people behave and the change that they bring in terms of being more excited about getting on board this journey. There are stirrings of it now, and I see people who are not in IT being even more enthusiastic about doing digital.
They don't fear it anymore.
They don't fear it. And I think that that's a good thing, because you can't have IT driving it. IT is just the technology enabler. We do the platforms, we do the programming, we manage the vendors and all that. But business is the one that needs to come on board very strongly, because ultimately it benefits them. And if it benefits them, it benefits the entire organization. So I would say a measure of success would be business needs to drive this together with IT. And business and IT, I think, would make a formidable combination. And I think one final thing is, we've talked about digital bringing about technology and value, but it's also about people. And you need good people. Without good people, nothing will happen.
And I've been speaking to Wong Xianlong. He's the Chief Information Officer for Gamuda Berhad, together with Mohundan Karamapulang. He's the Deputy Director, Digital Adoption Ecosystem for MDEC. You've been listening to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.